With a new career retrospective of his recordings, a biographical film starring actors impersonating him, and a display of over 120 of his watercolors in a German museum, Bob Dylan is in the public eye a lot at the moment. The latest addition to the Dylan avalanche is a film released on DVD called The Other Side of the Mirror, chronicling his performances at three consecutive Newport Folk Festivals from 1963 to 1965. Rock historian Ed Ward says that there's a lot more here than just a concert film.
In 1963, Murray Lerner, a young filmmaker who paid the rent on his Greenwich Village apartment making industrial films, packed up some gear and headed to Newport, Rhode Island, to see if the Newport Folk Festival was worth filming. One performer he made sure to capture every time he performed was Bob Dylan, just beginning to make his mark on the folk world and drawing large crowds of curious onlookers. The entire festival experience convinced Lerner that the event should be covered. Several generations were meeting at Newport, from old folk singers who'd been rediscovered by the urban folk fans, to veterans of America's first folk revival in the early 1950s, to the current crop of college students who found this music speaking to them in a way the era's pop music wasn't doing. The next year, he took a crew to the 1964 festival and began filming. He continued to do this through the 1966 festival, and in 1967, his documentary Festival, still considered one of the great music films, was released. Lerner went on to make films about Isaac Stern, Miles Davis, and The Who, but it's Festival he's best known for. Telling the story of the folk revival without narration, knitting together four festivals in less than 100 minutes, it's got all the stars of the 1960s folk revival. Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, Peter Paul and Mary, and of course, Bob Dylan. Not long ago, Lerner realized he had all the footage of Dylan's Newport appearances and wondered if there was a film there. Needless to say, there was, and he titled it The Other Side of the Mirror. The film's structure couldn't be more straightforward. It simply has three sections for each of the 3 years Dylan performed and presents his performances chronologically. The first glimpse we get of him is at one of the festival's workshops as he plays North Country Blues, a song about unemployment and poverty in the mining country where he grew up. Looking on fascinated, we can see traditional banjo player Clarence Ashley, Ashley's younger friend Doc Watson, and a very young Judy Collins. Dylan, by this time, was also Joan Baez's constant companion, and they spent some time on stage together, although it must be said they're not the world's greatest duet. Dylan appears just a little nervous, but does a good job of bluffing it away. By the next year, a lot has changed. He's got more hair, and it's less disciplined. His clothes are no longer the work shirt and chinos combination from the previous year. He gets a strong endorsement from Johnny Cash and a humorous impersonation from Joan Baez. And although he performs with God on our side, a new abstraction has crept into his songwriting.
Far between the finished sundown and midnight's broken toll, we ducked inside the doorway as thunder went crashing. As majestic bells of bolts struck shadows in the sounds, seeming to be the chimes of freedom flashing. Flashing for the warriors whose strength is not to fight, flashing for the refugees on the unarmed road of flight, and for each and every underdog soldier in the night. And we gazed upon the chimes of freedom flashing.
This newer Dylan is also met with a new pop star sort of adulation, and one of the most telling moments is after he leaves the stage and poor Peter Yarrow tries to interest the crowd, which won't stop cheering, in what's coming next, Odetta. Of course, for any Dylan fan, there's a tension building for the film's last 40 minutes, because we know that the 1965 Newport Folk Festival was the one where Dylan went electric, and from the excerpt in Festival, we know Lerner was there. We get some acoustic material from earlier in the day, and then a brief glimpse of the rehearsal and soundcheck, which looks rushed and chaotic. Then, without warning, we're there at the moment itself, the under-rehearsed band thundering into Maggie's farm.
Let's go!
tension on stage during this song has to be seen to be believed, nor do things calm much once Al Kooper stands up to take over on bass for Like a Rolling Stone, the second and last electric song of the set. Despite what you hear from revisionist folkies, this song was already in the top 10, so it couldn't have come as much as a surprise to the majority of people in the audience, and the band's volume, which is palpable in the film, shocked a lot of them. Once again, poor Peter Yarrow has to deal with the chaos as everyone rushes off stage, and he summons Bobby back for a conciliatory Mr. Tambourine Man, and finally the kiss-off, It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. Lerner's done a great job assembling this from the festival outtakes, and what I found remarkable was that the film has a story arc which, for all that is familiar to many of us, still retains its grip until the very last frames. The entire 80-minute film is thrilling, and I also recommend the bonus interview with Lerner, who's a very articulate man, as he discusses what went into making it. Dylan, he says, was perceived as a mirror on the part of many in his audience, and Lerner believes he's shown what was on the other side, from Dylan's perspective. I think he succeeded.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He reviewed the DVD release of The Other Side of the Mirror, Bob Dylan, live at the Newport Folk Festival in 1963 to 1965. I'm Terry Gross.